Okay, I want you to pay close attention to what I'm about to say. Eyes up here. Okay? We have all sorts of ways to let people know when we're going to say something important, don't we? Like when you're a little kid, what do they usually do? They kind of repeat it, right? It's like, daddy, 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 daddy. And you're just like, okay, just a second. Daddy, 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 just a second. Daddy, daddy. And finally you're like, okay, what is it? It's too late. Okay, well, all right. Well, when you get older, you know, it gets a little better maybe. My mom used to be a substitute teacher at the elementary age level, and I never had her for my substitute teacher, but my sister did. And one day in class, the class was quite unruly. They were quite rambunctious, and my mom was trying to get their attention, trying to get them to settle down. And my sister decides to take it on herself. She stands up on top of her desk. This was long before, like, the Dead Poets Society or anything. She stands up on top of her desk, and she's like, "Everybody shut up!" So she had to go sit in the corner, and they had to have a discussion afterwards about what's appropriate to try to get people's attention. And as we get older, you know, we get a little more sophisticated, a little less dramatic in that. If you're a teacher, how many teachers? We got a lot of teachers, former teachers, yeah. If you're a teacher, one great way to get your students' attention, and the students know this, to pay attention if you go, "This next thing I'm going to say is going to be on the final." Oh, man, everybody sits up, starts to take notes. You know, it's going to be on the final. Got to pay attention. If you're watching TV and all of a sudden they're like, "We interrupt this program for a special announcement," you're going to be like, "Oh, hey, what is it?" You get pay attention. Everybody perks up. If you're taking an airplane flight and you hit a lot of turbulence, that's always fun. On an airplane flight, and all of a sudden the speaker comes on, and you're like, "This is your captain speaking," and everybody's like listening up because this could be a matter of life or death. What he's going to say next? You pay real close attention. What if God wants to get your attention? What if God wants to get us to listen to something that he's got to say? See, what you need to know is that God wants to speak to us, you and me, about the things that matter most. He wants us to know what he's like. He wants to know us to know that you can experience forgiveness for sin. God wants you to know that you can be fully alive in this world and in the next world forever and ever. How do we know this? Well, because God has spoken. God has spoken to the world through the person of his son, Jesus. Jesus is God's ultimate authoritative declaration. In fact, the writer of the book of Hebrews puts it this way. It says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, now, at last, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe." The Son is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of his being. "Now, hear this," God says, and he sends a baby into the world. The reflection of God's glory is born in a stable. The exact imprint of God's very being is put down for a nap in a feed trough. Long ago, God spoke in many and various ways, but now at last he's spoken to us through his Son. This is going to be on the final. God says, "If you want to know what I'm like, listen to this. I'm exactly like Jesus. He is the exact imprint of my very being. If you want to know my character, if you want to know my heart, if you want to know my nature, God says, look at Jesus. If you want to know how God feels about little children, read the story in the Bible about when the people bring the children to Jesus and his friends are all like, "Oh, he's too busy, he's too important." And Jesus is like, "No, let him come to me." And he holds them on his lap, and he hugs them, and he loves them. If you want to know how God feels about suffering, because does he care? Does he even notice? Look in the Bible at the story of when Jesus' friend Lazarus died. And he sees the family in mourning, and the Bible says Jesus weeps. If you want to hear God speaking, the Bible says the place starts with Jesus. Now that's a very important point, because in our society today, there is an amazing amount of ignorance about who Jesus is and just kind of the basic truths about his life and his teachings. People just don't know. You're going to think I'm making this up, but this is actually true. It happened to a church in Minnesota. They were doing a funeral for a woman named Edna. Now, they had done a funeral a few weeks before for a woman named Mary, and they thought, well, instead of, you know, retyping everything, all of the service order and the liturgy and everything, because people like would have this printed out for them, instead of doing all that, they just did a search and replace. Anytime the word Mary was there, they just replaced it with Edna, so they didn't have to retype everything. And they did it, and it was fine. The service is going along well until they got to the Apostles' Creed. The first part was fine. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Then it got to the next part. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only son, born of the Virgin Edna. And they just kept going. I mean, people are just like, they didn't even know something was wrong, you know? The Bible says if you want to know the heart of God, you got to start with Jesus. And I hope you get to know Jesus. I strongly encourage you, sometime between now and the end of the year, during this Christmas season, pick one of the Gospels. Those are the stories about Jesus' life. Pick one of those and read through them. Maybe Luke has got the Christmas story in it, and you're familiar with that. Read through one of the Gospels. Get to know Jesus. If you want to know God, if you want to hear God speaking, the place to start is to get to know what God said clearly, authoritatively, definitively in Jesus. Now, here's what you're going to find as you begin to study about Jesus. He was not just a wise person, although he was that. He's not just a wonderful teacher, although he was that. You'll discover that Jesus is God come to earth. The Bible says Jesus is God, the Son of God, equal to God, eternally existent, who came and lived on earth and walked around as a real human being. We tend to gloss over this time of year. I mean, we just kind of let it go through us. But imagine what it was like. You know, imagine God actually literally present, maybe here in this room. God here in human form, in a human body. Imagine that God, the divine being, sitting right now next to you in the pew. Sitting in the pew next to you. Just think what a shock that would be. I mean, just look at the person next to you or near you in the pew. And just imagine, you ever consider the possibility that that person might be God? Maybe they have. I mean, maybe you've even asked them, well, who do you think you are, God? Look at the person for a minute. What are the odds on that? I mean, do they look omnipotent? Do they look like they've been around for all eternity? Just careful on that one. Just imagine the shock. I mean, imagine in Jesus' day, imagine what went through the minds of Mary and Joseph and their families. Imagine how intimidating it must have been to raise the Messiah. I mean, think of how careful we are with our kids. I mean, they didn't have car seats back then, you know. They didn't have, you know, a donkey gets into a crash, what do? You know, imagine Jesus wants to play a contact sport when he's a teenager. I mean, do you let him? I mean, like, this is the Messiah. What if he gets hurt? Imagine holding the God of the universe on your lap, because that's who Jesus is. What if he starts crying? What if he gets sick? You know, this kid is supposed to save the world. Imagine the pressure on Mary and Joseph. And we tend to forget those kind of things, but as you read through the Gospels, you can discover Jesus was no ordinary person. He is the radiance of the glory of God. He's the exact representation of God's very being. That's what the Bible tells us. It says, if you want to know God, the place to start is with Jesus. Now, it's really interesting to me how often when God speaks to people in Scripture, he doesn't do it with like this big, booming James Earl Jones type voice. You know? He comes in the still, small whisper, sometimes in the middle of the night. He comes in quiet ways with gentle leadings and quiet nudgings. And I think if I were God, you know, I'd want to talk in a big, loud voice. I'd be like my sister in that classroom, you know, stand up on the desk, get a big PA system that the whole world could hear, be like, okay, listen up, people. This is important. You guys need to hear what I have to say. But God doesn't do that. He allows people to choose whether they're going to listen or not. And so he comes in a quiet voice. And especially he's come in a quiet voice through Jesus. A lot of people missed it. A lot of people miss it still. They thought Jesus would come in a big voice. And so Christmas raises the obvious question, why would God come as a baby? I mean, why would he come to this impoverished couple, this obscure, oppressed people group in this little village in the middle of nowhere? Why like that? Why not with the big splashy special effects? Well, a very smart guy, Danish philosopher by the name of Soren Kierkegaard, thought about this a lot, and he took a shot at answering this. He wrote kind of a parable. He said, imagine there was a king who loved a young woman, but she was not royalty. In fact, she was a peasant girl. She dressed in rags and lived in a hovel, this small, dirty hut. And no one knew why the king loved her, but he did. And he wanted to bring her to the palace and tell her that he loved her. But he knew that if he did, she would be overwhelmed. There was this huge chasm of culture and position that separated them. And if she saw his immense power, she wouldn't have any ability to resist. She'd have to obey. But he didn't want to have to command her to be queen. He wanted her to love him of her own free will. He could force her to obey, but he longed for intimacy of heart and oneness of spirit. And all the power in the world cannot unlock the door to a human heart. It's got to be open from the inside. So he realized there was only one way. And one day the king left his throne, took off his crown, laid aside his royal robes, and he took on himself the life of a peasant. He dressed in rags, he scratched out a living in the dirt, groveled for food, dwelt in a hovel. And he didn't just take on the outward appearance of a servant. It actually became his life, his nature, his burden. He became as ragged as the one he loved so he could pursue her in love and so she could be united with him forever. This is a story, Kierkegaard said, of a king who would trade a palace for a hovel and robes for rags. And God thought about these little ragged creatures that he had made. How do I tell them that I love them? How can I keep them from being overwhelmed by the holiness and the power they are not capable of seeing? That would just overwhelm them. There was only one way. And that way was Jesus, who laid aside his crown, who removed his robes. The Bible puts it this way: Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is the story of a king who chose rags. The Bible says that the Word, Jesus, became flesh and lived among us, dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God had come to earth, and we have seen his glory, but it's not the glory of thrones and crowns. The supreme revelation of God's glory was that he would lay aside all of that for this ragged, sin-filled little peasants like you and me. We've seen his glory, the Bible says. That's precisely what people thought Jesus didn't have. I mean, born in a manger, raised in obscurity, trained as a carpenter, killed as a criminal. Funny kind of glory. Strange way to save the world. Now you and I have to decide. Will we respond? Will we open up our lives to him? Will you hear Jesus and God speaking to us through him? Jesus says this, and he says it still. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person, and they with me. The Bible says this is the glory of God in its ultimate form, creator of all there is, ruler and sustainer of heaven and earth. His ultimate glory is that one day he came knocking at your door. The door of your heart. He's knocking right now. And sometimes I think one of the saddest things is that sometimes he knocks for years. Sometimes we get these little promptings that just go, listen to God. Confess your sins. Ask for forgiveness. And sometimes that goes on for week after week, month after month, year after year. And some people never open the door. They never invite him in. But patiently, Jesus just says, I stand at the door. And I knock. And here's what you need to know. This is not just for people who have never opened the door. In fact, this passage in Revelation is addressed to a church that knew Jesus. They had known him, but they allowed their relationship with him to kind of grow lukewarm. They'd lost the fire and passion in their walk with God. And Jesus is telling them, I'm not giving up. I'm not about some one-time commitment way back in the past. I want a friendship with you. I want a relationship. I want to do life together and help you become the person you were created to be and do this amazing adventure together with you. And the metaphor he uses is to eat together. And in that culture, that was a symbol of trust and deep intimacy. Now, if somebody comes knocking at the door to my house, I am not going to just invite them in for supper unless I know something about them, you know? I'm not even going to open the door unless I know who it is. If you want to know more about Jesus, this Jesus who's knocking at the door to your life, one great place to start is to look at some of the names that were given to him. We read this verse a few minutes ago, but I just want you to see these amazing names that reveal to us the truth about who Jesus is. Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And just in the moments that remain, I want to walk you through those four names. And as we do that, Let God speak to you. Jesus is knocking right now, and it may be as we go through some of these names, you're going to realize God wants to be this for you, and you could open your door. The Bible says he'll be called Wonderful Counselor. He'll listen patiently and give wisdom for life. You know, counselors and therapists will tell you that when they begin working with a new client, most of the time there comes a moment fairly early on where something will just dawn on the other person. And they'll realize all of a sudden there is another person whose whole agenda is simply to listen to them. And they get overwhelmed by it because people almost never experience a relationship with another person who just constantly sits with them just to listen. Not to judge, not to evaluate, just to listen. People are so hungry for that. God says, he will be a counselor to you. He's available 24/7. He always listens. He always understands. And he gives good, wise counsel. Some of you are here and you need wisdom for living. And the Bible says, to us a child is born, a son is given, and he wants to be your wonderful counselor. Not just a counselor, but a wonderful counselor. Someone who will listen and never lose patience. He will give wisdom and never waver. Some of you face decisions that will determine the fate of your immortal soul. You're assessing relational commitments or personal values or business ethics. And a wrong decision could mess up your life so badly. And some of you are experiencing that pain. And God's knocking right now, just saying, I will be a wonderful counselor if you let me. I'll guide you. I'll give you wisdom if you just pour out your problems to me and then spend some time listening. Jesus longs to be your wonderful counselor. And God says, Jesus came so that we could have a mighty God. And some of you need a mighty God right now. Maybe you're facing the biggest challenge of your life. Maybe some overwhelming task that you're facing or a financial problem you just don't know how you're going to overcome. Maybe it's a physical challenge you face and you know it's not going to get any better and you don't know how to deal with it. Or you're in a situation right now that is just far beyond your control. Jesus is knocking at your door. Won't you let me be a mighty God? Aren't you tired of trying to do everything on your own strength? Tired of trying to carry burdens you weren't designed to carry? Won't you let me step in and be a mighty God for you? Then we see God is an everlasting Father. I will be your Father and you will be my children, God tells us. If you listen to Christian radio at all, you'll know this song. It's been one of the top worship songs of the last few years. The song is called Good, Good Father. It's by Chris Tomlin. It's very, very popular. But I don't think it's popular because the music, the melody or anything, and that's fine. But it's the lyrics that just touch us so deeply inside. The chorus is this call out to God. You are a good, good Father. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. And the first verse goes like this. I've heard 1,000 stories of what they think you're like. But I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night. And you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. And some of you are here this morning and you're alone. And it's a hard thing to be alone. Some of you are surrounded by people and yet you still feel alone. I mean, maybe you're divorced or you're single and you see families all around or you're married but you're feeling separated in your heart. Or you've lost a spouse or a family member and that loneliness is just heartbreaking. And Jesus is right here at the door to your heart. Don't you know I want to be your friend? Won't you invite me to be a part of every moment of your life? To go through every day with you, I want to be for you an everlasting Father. You could just write those words down, everlasting Father. Put them on the mirror at home or on the refrigerator. Put them in your car, somewhere where you're going to see them. You don't have to be alone, but you got to open the door. Then the Bible says the fourth wonderful name Jesus comes as is Prince of Peace. We talked about this a bit last week. And although this has a lot of ramifications, primarily it means to make peace between God and us. We've been separated from God by a chasm of our own sin, my own unrighteousness, the things that I shouldn't have done and I did anyway, or the things I should have done and didn't do. The moral debt I've accumulated that I can never repay So Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace, and he died on the cross, paid that debt that I couldn't pay, so I could be reconciled, so I could have a relationship with him, to be forgiven. Things could be set right between God and me. For some of you, Jesus is knocking at your door right now, and he's just saying, won't you receive the gift of salvation, of forgiveness, of life? Some of you are here this morning, and Jesus has been knocking on the door of your heart for a long time. And this is your day. This is the day for you to open the door of your life and just to say, I want there to be peace between God and me. I want to receive forgiveness, not try to earn it, but to accept it as a gift. I hope you'll be very quiet in your heart right now and hear God. And I hope you'll respond, because sometimes what happens is if you keep not responding and not responding and not responding, eventually, even though God always loves you and God always wants you, eventually you just lose the ability to hear him. This is the glory of God, that the God of the universe, the King of all creation, makes his way to this place, to where you're seated right now, and knocks at the door of your life. We're going to take a couple minutes just to listen to him. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me right now. I'm going to ask you to be very quiet right now in your heart and in your spirit. Not just in terms of noise, but in your spirit and in terms of setting aside distractions and so on. You just listen to God speak to you right now. To you. For this is the glory of God. He's come down right now into this room. Right now to where you're seated. He's knocking at the door of your heart. Some of you right now have decisions or areas of confusion, and you're just not smart enough. And Jesus is saying to you, won't you let me be for you a wonderful counselor? Won't you say yes? Some of you are here this morning, and you're carrying burdens too large for any human being to bear. And Jesus says with a strong voice, won't you let me be a mighty God in your life? Will you say yes? Some of you feel so alone, and God says, won't you let me be an everlasting Father? Let me just wrap my arms around you. You be my beloved child. Some of you have never allowed Jesus to come into your life, never received the gift of forgiveness and new life. You've just been stubbornly keeping the door shut. Just be real quiet right now, because Jesus stands at the door of your heart. The King of the universe has laid aside his crown and his robes, and he's become like one of us. And he's saying to you right now, won't you let me be the Prince of Peace? Won't you stop with all the stubbornness and just open the door? Listen for the voice of God in your heart.